Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to do some IMD bags about Busy Phillips. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast on Eviction Night number 2, where we saw Nicole Anthony ultimately be the person voted out of the house here 2 weeks in to Big Brother 22. We have a new HOH. It's Tyler. We'll talk about what he has in store for this week and much more with our panel here tonight. And it's another good one. Welcome back here with us. Second Thursday in a row here with this man. Please welcome back Brent. Welcome up. Brent, how are you? Oh.
It's okay. Yes. It's okay. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be with you all because I'm probably going to be the most excitement that you get this week. I just want you to know that you better be glad that I'm here, because otherwise it might be a little bit of a snooze.
Okay, that's what we thought last week.
Yes, here's hoping.
Yeah, okay. All right. Here with us tonight as well is a woman who I believe manifested Ian's All Stars Wars script by hanging up a Star Wars tapestry for All Stars. Get it? Here is the great co-author of the Big Brother Floor blockumentary and the host of the Kowski Cast. Here is the great Frail Mary Kwiatkowski.
Yes, thank you so much. Look, I looked around for my shiny vest and my neon, you know, space suit, and I just couldn't find it. I think it must be in the dry cleaners, but I was gonna come prepared and matching with the whole speech.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mary, so nice to have you back here with us tonight to talk about everything from this eviction tonight. And I'm excited to podcast with a newcomer to RHAP. Very excited to talk with Phil. Phil Thompson. Phil, how are you?
What's going on, Rob? Thanks for having me on. Tonight was an emotional whirlwind, but I'm excited to talk about it, especially about Busy Phillips' just an extensive IMDb career. So it'll be fun.
Okay. All right. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. This week was kind of frustrating, but, you know, it's been all right. I'm a filmmaker, just so you guys know. I'm a film student, and I've been watching the show for a few years, but I'm just a huge fan, and I'm super excited to be here.
Phil, as a filmmaker, could you give us some critique to Ian's acting this week?
Ian was giving an absolutely like electric performance, just top to bottom all week. You know, it's really hard to just be on and off the whole time, but, you know, he's just doing an amazing job, and, you know, I hope he wins the Academy Award this year because, you know, there's no other movies coming out this year.
Yeah.
So he's a shoo-in. Yeah,
he's a shoo-in. Yeah. Got a good shot at HOH, but ultimately Tyler came through and took it away from Ian. All right. Well, I guess let's talk about Nicole Anthony. This went back and forth all week long that it looked like that there were times where David's campaign eked out in front of Nicole, but she was, I think, consistently in the lead all week long. I will have an exit interview coming with Nicole Anthony in the morning, so be on the lookout for that on Friday. We'll get to talk with Nicole about everything that was going on this week, so excited about that. But Brent, you want to put a bow on this Nicole Anthony campaign?
The Nicole Anthony campaign that wasn't. I mean, she tried. I'll give her credit. She wasn't one of these people that just lied down and died. She was trying up until last night, trying to get people in a room, trying to get them to on her side. We didn't even see that on the show, where there was a last minute push to try to save Nicole Anthony. She tried to bring some warring factions together, some people who didn't trust each other, some people who did not have her best interest at heart. But she was none the wiser. And effectively, what happened was the alliance that Julie showed her, once she was out of the house, pulled the wool over everyone's eyes and got their way once again. And here's the thing about Nicole Anthony. I think that people said, oh, she came back too soon. I don't think she came back too soon. I just think that she didn't learn the right lessons from last season. And also, She's also one of these people that's guilty of fighting the last war. And I know a lot of us do that, and that's really easy to do. But she consistently thought that Kacer and Janelle were just playing her. And you could see, like, there was some actual consternation in Julie's interview when she was taking her to task, as much as Julie does anyway, in terms of saying, you know, what the hell were you doing here, Nicole, doubting Janelle and Kacer? And you could see the shame that came over Nicole Anthony and the awkward silence. And like Julie said at one point, you know, if I could give you a hug, I would, but it's because of this COVID thing. I actually think she didn't want to give her a hug. I think she wanted her to just sit there in her shame and let her.
You know what you did. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I thought. Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. Mary, do you think that that's what it is as human beings, that it's like whatever happened to us before, that like it's happening again?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Brent about her not learning the correct message there and lessons from her previous season. I think that we see a lot of these players. I mean, you look at Janelle and Kacer, they come back and they try to play the same game basically every time. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. With Nicole, she got so afraid of being left out of an alliance and being backstabbed by the mean kids that she started seeing the mean kids in places where they weren't and not realizing that she was already left out of the big alliance, maybe not for the same reasons. I mean, both in her first season and this one, she's liked by everyone. People like her, people want to be friends with her, but for whatever reason, she doesn't have that instant drive when the game starts of, okay, I need to get in, I need to actively put myself in the alliance. There was a lot of her waiting for people to come and connect with her and her being too picky and choosy about who she liked and who she didn't. And sometimes you gotta hop on that train. And if she had approached Tyler week one or the first couple days and said, hey Tyler, you and me, let's do this, let's form a crew, Tyler wanted that, but she didn't do it, and could be in a very different spot right now if she had.
I think that the thing with Nicole just is that we all love her because she was an underdog. You know, she, in the beginning of the game, she was struggling a little bit, but then she stuck it through and then we all loved her. But now, you know, she was never a good player. We all always already knew that. You know what I mean? So we're kind of just seeing the same thing again. I don't know. I'm not surprised by this, I would say, just because, you know, she's an underdog doesn't mean, you know, she's a great player.
Yeah, also, no tea, but she got a little bit unlucky. Like, I really do think that Memphis was the only person in the house that would have put her up on the block and allow her to be evicted. Like, everybody else had agendas of their own that they wanted other people gone. This really pleased nobody, and in some ways was a good HOH week for Memphis.
Yeah, but we talked about this on draft night also, that she was always going to be a person that she was just always too much of a pushover in the game, in both games, where that, you know, we saw her push back against like Janelle and Kacer a little bit to some degree, but there's like no ramifications of coming for Nicole. Nobody's afraid of, oh, if I get Nicole out on, or if I come for Nicole and I miss, oh, I'm a dead man next week. She's a very easy person to go after. And in that game where it was so tight, then she was an easy mark early in this game.
Bailey proved to us this past season in the challenge that if you come in and you just say, hey, you don't want to mess with me or you don't want to mess with my ally because then I'm going to come after you, you can get really deep into the game with that. She needed someone else to be there, and unfortunately, it was Kevin, which is not really the person here that was going to help her be the threat of, ooh, we don't want to make Kevin upset when he's already been on the block week one. I don't necessarily agree that she's not a good player. I think she is. But I think when you come into a game being nervous and scared and just trying to play nice, you need to change your game. Come in having people expect that of you, but then on the side, you need to divert and do something different. If you played one season as the underdog and won America's favorite, you can be very tempted to do that again and sort of subconsciously self-sabotage to keep yourself in that underdog position.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do want to talk about that really quickly, though. It is frustrating to me watching so many of these players play scared, playing not to rock the boat, playing just to make sure they get through another week, playing to coast through so that nobody sees them in the game. If nobody's seen you in the game, then you don't have any agency in the game. We know that these players are being paid a not insignificant amount of money to come on to this season, reportedly $40,000 a house guest to come on and play. Like, your chances of winning are already not good.
It's $40,000 to show up. I do not believe that they get paid any extra to play.
That's true. I just don't understand why people don't play a little bit harder, because I feel like Taryn often says this. You know, people say, oh, well, you don't want to play too fast, too soon. That's a bad thing to do. That's not true. You want to play fast and you do want to play soon. You just don't want to play messy. And a lot of people confuse fast and soon with messy, and then they get themselves into trouble when they don't have a foothold in the game, and then they go out of the house like this.
Well, I think that Nicole has some skills in this game. Like, I think that there are aspects of her social game. Phil, I do think that she has strengths. I think that the problem is that she just has, like, also really big holes in her game.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do think that she, you know, views everyone as like an enemy. I think the problem is that her reads are always off. That's the thing. Even with Cliff last season, her reads were always off. Even though she might, you know, be a little bit of a good social player, just because people like her, like you guys were saying before, people might like her. But the thing is, like, if her reads are off, she can't really do anything with that. She can't really excel, take her game to the next level. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
Yeah. Nicole, I didn't think she had a great speech tonight either to try to save herself, Mary. She was managed to combine the, like, you know, when you get in there, vote your heart. Do what you think. But also, she also took a shot at Memphis, who is the tiebreaker also there.
Look, point to me one time in the history of Big Brother that telling people last minute at the ceremony, go in there, ignore your alliances, just vote for yourself, think about what would, you know, get you farther in the game, or my opinion of what would get you farther in the game, which would be keeping me. It's never worked. The same people who are going to vote for you are going to vote for you. And
let's write the speech that will work. Is there anything? Have we ever seen a speech that does work?
I mean, it would take a really specific circumstance and targeted at like one or two people in order for a speech to work.
So then should people just go all shout outs then, if the speech is just window dressing?
I think if you think that there's like one or two votes that are on the fence and that, maybe speak directly to those people and speak just very kindly to them. And maybe that would tip it. Right. Yes. Look, as Julie said, when you know, trying to figure out what Nicole was going for, what the right thing to do was, but she was doing, was the kind not right?
She was never kind. Yeah, she was never kind this season. Yeah.
She was never kind. Always choose kindness. Right. Yeah. So I don't know if there's really like a plug and chug speech that's going to work for everyone. At the most, you might see
there is an opportunity to use a speech, but it's like you want to use, like, the point of using a speech is when you already have the votes and you're trying to do something to solidify your game, to say things to your allies, you know, to make them feel good, to make them feel complacent that you're on their side. Like, the work should have already been done, and then the speech is the icing on top.
I think the thing with the speech is you don't want to actually just name names and say this person do this, this person vote this way, because then everyone knows where that person votes. I think everybody knows the speech doesn't really mean that much unless the house is absolutely split. The speech is just for TV. That's why it exists. So I would say just give the speech, give good TV, because it doesn't matter. Whatever you say doesn't matter. Just give a good TV moment. I don't know. I think if you try to single someone out, it's going to hurt their game. They're not going to want to vote for you. I really don't think.
Big Brother is not like Survivor. You're not going to have live tribals right there at the end. Survivor's a sprint and Big Brother is a marathon. You needed to have done the work during the week. And if you're starting your work on, you know, Tuesday, it's too late. You needed to have done it before, unless there's something magical you can pull out at the last minute.
Yeah. The chat is like naming like all these other speeches in Big Brother history. We're only talking about right before the eviction. I don't want to hear about Dan's funeral and
Before the eviction, when someone was clearly going home and multiple votes flip because of some ingenious speech that someone says. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what we're talking about. Okay. So Nicole ultimately comes out, and it was a little bit of a chilly reception with Julie, that she did warn her, like, make sure you sit in that chair 10 feet away from me. And her opening question to her was,
I'm a little bit confused by your gameplay.
That was shade. That was a read. Really? That was about as hard as Julie Combs.
Yes.
It wasn't like Rachel Swindler bad, but it was like pretty, it was up there for like, she was just like basically dragging her. If she was closer, she would have done the Marcellus, just like hit her on the head.
She really would have. I think I saw some people on Twitter asking for that. And I'm like, she totally would have if she was closer.
Well, does she need to get like a 10-foot pole with like a little fly swatter on the end or something like
yes,
that?
That's what we yeah, need.
That would be great. Mary, do you know, like, did Nicole learn anything in the conversation with Julie and in the goodbye messages that she didn't already know? She seemed to be getting upset.
She was thrown off by the whole Enzo situation in that vote. I think that the main thing was that she had sort of, over the last couple days, if you listen to the morning updates, she had gotten hints that, oh, maybe Janelle and Kesar actually are on my side and have not been trying to screw me over the whole time like I thought. And this was just more confirming it. But if you had a hunch that maybe you could be wrong, I don't think that what you want is just to have Julie be like, yeah, you're wrong the whole time. And boy, have you made a fool of yourself. Like, this has been debated all week of, you know, the internet on two sides of, we need to be nice to Nicole or we should shame her for how poorly she's played. We're seeing the whole picture. Yeah. She's not, we know she has bad reads.
I'm going to shame her for how poorly she's played. 100%. Sure. Nicole, you played like crap. Seriously, okay, you did. But that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Okay,
but in a different universe, in a different universe, and this universe might have been Big Brother 21, Janelle and Kesar could have been lying to her the whole time and could have been, you know, the Nick and Bella actually trying to set her up for failure. She's been there. And if you have that in your head, it's hard to forget it.
I'm also just sure that when you're evicted, your head is spinning. You have no idea what's going on. You go out there and Julie tells you the truth. And you kind of just lean into that. I'm sure, you know, Nicole might have had suspicions, but I do kind of think that once Julie kind of got the ball rolling, Nicole just saw the big picture, or she saw what she thought the big picture was.
Yeah, but Phil, you know in your heart of hearts that when she walked out the door, she really, like, because she'd been through this all week long. Like, there were times where Kesar said, hey, you know, we're on your side. And she's like, oh, yeah, I do see that you guys are on my side. But then she'd go back to Kevin, and then she'd be right turned around again.
Yeah.
So ultimately, she walked out of the house thinking that Janelle and Kesar were not on her side, that they had done harm to her game, that they had screwed her over. So then when Julie's telling her, like, hey, they were actually working for you, Janelle cried for you, they were on your side the entire time, now Nicole's feeling bad because she knows all the crap that she talked about Janelle in the house, and it was something else. Again, and we were reminded this week that there is a thin line between a house guest that you love and a house guest that you hate based on who their target is. Last year, like, Nicole was going after people that we didn't like, and we liked that. We loved it even. This year, not so much. When she's going after Janie and Kesar, who we know are telling the truth and are on the outside of everything, not a good look for Nicole.
Do you think she thinks she's the hero of all this, though?
Now,
I don't know.
Now she knows she's not. Now she knows so. She's not.
Yeah.
No, Phil, earlier in the week, she was talking about the fact that, hey, you know, I was America's favorite player last year. This isn't going to sit well with America putting me and David up on the block. She definitely said that. And then when she ends up on the block and out of the house and is coming for the people that were actually on her side, she realizes, I look like a freaking idiot. Because she knows all the shit that she talked about Janie and Kesar all week long. And it was voluminous. It was not just like, oh, like, let me talk a little crap about them in the bathroom. No, it was all over the place and what monsters they are. That's how bad it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Mary, if we were to head over to the CBS Facebook page, how do you think the reception is going to be going for Nicole Anthony tonight?
Not good.
Mary's look. Oh my God.
Look, I think that they did not listen to Julie and they're going to be like, we're right. Nicole was wrong. So we're not going to be kind about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of think I know that she's going to be able to talk to people pretty soon, but maybe this is the good thing. Maybe it's good to have one night of already prepping yourself for the reaction. You know, Julie tipped her off. Well, Julie shoved in her face exactly what she's going to experience. Wasn't very subtle.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that's better. But maybe Julie realized after her interview with Nicole and after the HOH, maybe she thought, you know what? Maybe I just did what was right and not what was kind. And I need to to make up for that and speak to the audience.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Magic 8 Ball. It says, don't count on it.
Yeah. Well, this was Julie's new sign off for tonight.
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. And remember, if you have the choice of being right or being kind, always choose kindness.
Yeah.
That's not the quote. The quote is supposed to be, if you have the choice between something that's right and something that's easy, do what's right. So that's just confusing
no,
to me.
No, do what's being right or being kind.
Those are not contradictory things.
I was wondering, Brent, was this some more shade for Nicole Anthony, who was neither right nor kind to Janelle and Kacer?
I did feel as though it might be a little bit like I definitely tied it in to what she had just got done saying to Nicole Anthony when she said that about being kind, because like Nicole had the option many times, like, you know, she knew that there was a possibility that Janie and Kacer were actually on her side and she still chose to drag
them. She was both wrong and not kind. That's not ideal. Not ideal.
I thought it was that she was saying to the fans, just because everyone's just been dragging her all week. She was just like saying, please be kind. But you know what? Yeah, she was just dragging Nicole.
Yeah, she was just dragging
exactly
Nicole.
What she was.
No way.
Okay. I guess let's talk a little bit about David and his campaign, his prospects moving forward. Phil, do you see a lot of daylight for David moving forward?
No. Absolutely not. You know, I really just don't. I mean, I'm now that Tyler won HOH, maybe, you know, we'll see what happens. But I really, David, to me, this episode was just, it was pitiful to watch. I mean, for me, I mean, I don't know. I just, I know he got a big mastermind edit last time and we're really hyped to see him come back. But this whole episode, you know, and just watching him on the feeds all week, it's really just evident that he has no idea what he's doing. You never want to say to an ally at any point ever. I'm not naming names. I'm not gonna. No, I thought we trusted each other. I don't understand. You know what I mean? I have no idea.
Right. Like, and then after she says that to him, after she says, "Well, I'm telling you, like I thought we trusted each other," he still doesn't name them.
Yes.
Still refuses to name them.
This is what David had to say.
Yes.
To Davon.
I have safeguards in place.
Yes, safeguards in place, Mary.
Oh, yes.
Look, you need to have a mentality of have a list, have a hierarchy in your mind. Have, like, the real thing, the real people you're with, the real people you target. Then the people that are, like, it's kind of true, and this is the one that you tell your maybe allies, like, oh, I like this person, or oh, I might target them, to where it's not really going to hurt you if the news gets back, but you're telling them something, even if it's not everything. Where is that? Where is that from? No, he's dropped all the way down to tell him nothing and then hope they'll still be chill with me.
The thing is, it shouldn't be safe. He should not be like, yeah, I'm good. I got safeguards. I think the strategy should definitely be like, yeah, please, like, help me. Like, pick
Davon,
me up as a piece.
Davon,
like,
I need your help. I need your help.
Yeah.
I'm freaking
I'm
out.
Good. I don't
I'm freaking
you.
Out, Davon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, there's a reason why we all knew that David was, like, almost home free this week, even though he was on the block. And Taryn and I think Melissa also gave him a 2 in the Stockwatch because he plays so bad. Like we knew he was about as safe could be this week because there was no way Nicole was going to be able to line up the votes to get her safe. And still, like, his just actual gameplay was so pitiful. It was laughable. And I'm trying to be like in my head, like, kind, okay, like, you know, well, you know, he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Brent.
He's not, I know, I'm trying to be kind,
be right.
Not right, not kind. But still, like, I have the compulsion to be right because I'm like, his gameplay does actually suck, Mary. Like, it's really terrible.
It's just the look of someone who, you know, plays one of these games and then refuses to watch it. And I don't know if he's watched it or if he's refused to or, you know, looked back at that. But he just comes across as someone who's like,
but
I'm here, I'm playing my own thing, and therefore I'm right. Have no insight into anything that he's doing.
Here's the thing, though, and I take that point. Like, he may not be a fan of the show. He may not have watched a lot of Big Brother, but just from a human point of view, to have a conversation with that and not feel the need to say, oh, no, I screwed up. Like, I, you know, here, you're right. You are telling me everything and I need to tell you something. Like, he just, and he, even after that conversation, it's not like that was fancy editing, still refused
It's because he read the wrong books. He read the one about emotional intelligence, but he didn't read How to Win Friends and Influence People. He didn't read Dan Giesling's book. Like, what is he doing? He just chose the wrong books. It's fine. We'll make a book club for him for next time.
Oh, that's good.
I think he just does not fundamentally understand how just the social strategy of the game works. Like, it doesn't matter if he doesn't know the show. That's fine. But yeah, you have to just understand how play the game. Just people in general. Exactly. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Okay. All right. So David manages to stay. He gets a vote to evict from Enzo tonight. Let's talk a little bit about this. That I did play a clip on the slop this week where Enzo was talking about potentially he would date Nicole after the show. But I don't think that this was necessarily a pro-Nicole vote. So what's going on here, Brent? Is this a hinky vote?
I think it's a hinky vote. I think Enzo's a little bit bored. And I don't know what they're going to do with it, though. It's not like a hinky vote without a plan is not very good. And the problem with the vote coming back 10 to 2 is that, you know, at first glance, people are going to be like, well, you know, Janelle and Kaser, they voted to evict David. But I have a feeling Kevin is going to own his vote. Yes. Kevin is going to own his vote and say, you know, look, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nicole was my friend. I was loyal and I voted to evict David. Everyone knew he was doing that. So what's the point of this? So you're saying that Janie or Kaser voted to evict somebody?
Maybe two hinky votes.
Maybe he's blaming it on Davon. I know that the group has lost trust in Davon lately. Maybe he's going to blame it on her. But again, we don't know what the plan is. Memphis. I know, right? Enzo is off doing his own thing. He's doing his own thing, and I don't know what the plan is, and I don't think that's a very good place to be when it's a guy who's normally working in the middle of an alliance.
I think that if he was trying to, you know, put it on Davon or Bailey or something like that, it's too early for that, because that is a tried and true strategy, I think, to, you know, set up for, you know, after Janelle and Kaser go, who's next? You know what I mean? But Janelle and Kaser are still in the house. You know what I mean? It does not make any sense to start, you know, setting up the target for, you know, Davon and Bailey this big, this early on.
Yeah. Mary, you did the preview about Enzo, correct? You're inside Enzo's head. You studied Big Brother 12. First off, Enzo, I think a questionable decision to break out the branded Brigade merchandise. I think that is not ideal when you're trying to have a secret alliance in the house to break out the branded merch of your last secret alliance.
Look, you know, we can, you know, have our own opinions on the Swaggy C merch, but at least his is just his name and it's just personal to myself.
Like,
it's my branding.
If Bailey or Swaggy C was like hiding their relationship, but also like Swaley in the house.
Swaley, exactly. Like, yeah, I don't know. The fact that he gave out nicknames this week but continued to keep his own being the Meow Meow, like, mix it up. You know, try some different things. Maybe he wants to lean fully into it. Like, oh, isn't this funny? I'm wearing the Brigade shirt. Wouldn't it be hilarious? It's not like that's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and I think outwardly, I think that's working. I think Enzo's playing a great social game and sort of owning that kind of, like, old man class clown sort of archetype that I think is working really well for him right now. So I don't think that people are going to read too much into it, because he kind of knows, like, people knew I was in the Brigade. If they're going to think that I'm doing it again, they're going to think it. Me wearing a shirt's not going to change that fact. I think that he's just thinking a couple steps ahead. If I keep using this Brigade thing, maybe I can sell more merch in the future. Don't know why he doesn't have the Dwight t-shirts going on. Because that's what I'd be.
Yeah,
you know,
it's wall merch.
I think that he's just used to being smarter than everybody else in the room in Big Brother. Like, it happened on his original season. Now it's happening again, where he's in an alliance that's actually controlling the house, but nobody really knows it. And I feel like that he gets off on the fact that he's wearing a shirt that says, like, look, I'm doing it again, and y'all don't even know it. Like, I think he really does like that.
Yeah. Phil, what's going to happen with this Enzo vote for to Vic David?
You know, he's going to just be like, listen, man, I don't know who did it. I guess Davon, man, all the way, 100%, man, Davon. And then I think, you know, hopefully, I mean, I don't know what Kevin's going to do with that vote. That's the thing. I mean, who knows? It depends on what Kevin susses out. You know what I mean? If Kevin says that he voted, then I have no idea what Enzo's going to do. But if Kevin's not able to do that, if Kevin doesn't, you know, say that he made the vote, then, you know, he might have some room to play. He might have some room to either blame Janelle or Kacer or Bailey and Davon.
Okay. I want to talk about this competition. I've been dying to talk about this all night long because I'm so confused. Now, Brent, I feel like that this is up your alley to, no pun intended, to talk about this type of competition, because that let me play for you Julie explaining the rules, because I'm so confused at how the contestants approach this, because that it seemed like that nobody seemed to understand what the rules were. So, okay, here's Julie explaining the game.
You will play this competition one at a time. On the horn, you must race to slide one mug down each of the three counters you see before you. Hit your button and lock in your time. The goal is to land each mug on the highest scoring zone. If your mug touches the line between two zones, you will receive the higher score. Your final score will be the cumulative points for all three mugs, but be warned, you only have 30 seconds to lock in your score. The all-star with the highest cumulative score will be the new head of household for the week. If we have a tie, then the winner will be the all-star that did this in the least amount of time.
Okay. All right. So we have 10,000 mugs behind them. Brent, were the contestants able to launch a fourth mug if they were going to use more time?
Oh, I didn't even consider that. I kept wondering, like, well, how are you confused? Because I got it pretty fast, but I only, you know, I'm like Enzo. I'm like the smartest guy in the room. I just figured it was three counters, three drinks. I never considered that there were multiple drinks behind everybody, and they had 30 seconds, so they could have, like, thrown, like, you know, four or five or six drinks down on each counter. Maybe that's what the producers were counting on.
They were able to practice this. And so based on their practice, they had been talking in the house about how they got three shots. So I assume that they were told, maybe not right then, but they were told ahead of time, you get three.
So maybe you couldn't necessarily continue to go more. But Phil, at the point where, okay, I have 30 seconds, the winning time is, say, 15 seconds, why didn't the contestants say, all right, I'm going to really just brace myself and take a second and aim. And okay, I'm not going to go for the fastest time, but I'm going to make damn sure I get the highest score.
I think at the end of it, people were kind of just using force. They weren't even thinking about it. They realized, because people were screwing up in the beginning, I think people weren't even thinking about aiming. They were just like, I just have to push this hard. I have to just push this as hard as I possibly can to, you know, make sure it lands.
There's no excuse for Janelle and Kacer not having done that. They should have slowed down, taken their time. They have 30 seconds. Just try to get all of them right.
There's already
a high score. If there was, you know, if there was 9 points on the board that you're trying to beat, then maybe you want to go quick because maybe you only think you could get 9 and you're just going to go for time. But at that point, you could get up to 15. Just go slow. Take your time.
Yeah. It seemed like a couple of people had no interest in winning the HOH. Cody, to start things off, seemed like he did not seem particularly interested.
I just think he performed poorly. I don't
think
he's
the one. He had to go first, but you know, they did practice this. Enzo, he wasn't even trying to lock in. David was confused. He's like wandering around. That seems to be a lot of urgency from the first couple of people.
Yeah. It definitely picked up toward the end. I think Ian got 10 points. Franzo got 9. Tyler, 12. Janelle, 11. They definitely figured out there's a little bit of a learning curve, I think, to like watching people push it, realizing how much friction was on the table, even though they had practiced this. Like, it's one thing to practice, like, you know, last night and then come back the next day. And, you know, you kind of forget like the feel for it. But then watching other people, you're like, oh, OK, I got to push it this hard in order to get it down there. So I do think that the people at the end had more of an advantage than the people who went early on.
No. Look, Big Brother 20, we saw the signs. We learned that Tyler was a master bowler. And so we knew that he was going to be good at this similar kind of lane based sliding distance kind. It's all in the same genre, you know.
Brent, was the fix in? This was a challenge made for Tyler.
I thought the fix was in for us because they said they did a random draw and somehow Janie and Kacer ended up at the very end. Like, I really thought that they were trying to throw us a bone.
Janelle was close.
So, like, let me just say, like, we didn't start the show with the HOH thing, but I'm like, you guys, I'm so pissed. Janie got freaking 11 points. She got 11 points, okay? Like, Ian had the highest score for the longest time. Freaking Tyler again has to come in there and just get 12 points. And then you're like, it's just so frustrating. Okay. We were that close to a dynamite week. And instead, we've got to watch. Like, Tyler doesn't even need to be HOH. I can do his nominations for him. It's going to be Janie and Kacer up on the block. If the veto gets used, it's going to be a placeholder nominee. And then whoever is Janie or Kacer still on the block, they're going to go home. Like, that's what's going to happen. The only thing that's interesting is that the big alliance is currently fighting over whether or not Janie or Kacer is the person that they want to send home.
I said this on the show last night. This could be what cracks the big alliance, fighting over which one to send home. Phil, is there any reason to believe that these won't be the nominees, Janelle and Kacer?
Absolutely not. Just because of just how last week played out. Yeah. And honestly, at this point, I mean, I'm going to say this. The chat might kill me for this. I just want to see one of them go. At this point, last season, everyone was just so obsessed with Kemi. Kemi needs to go out. And then as soon as, you know, Kemi and then Cliff got voted, then the game and started to pick up and the alliance started to crack apart. I just need to see this alliance crack apart.
I agree with that. Like, I'll give credit to my coworker and friend on the LFC panel, Melissa Denny, who tweeted yesterday that she said, you know, and she was so right about this. And I mean, she put it in just like the starkest, most simplest terms. She was complaining on Twitter about the fact that she was frustrated because every modern season of Big Brother is the same, where a dominant alliance takes control. The people that are on the outside refuse to acknowledge that they are on the outside and that there's a dominant alliance controlling everything. And then we get to the end and the only gameplay starts to happen when the alliance starts to break apart and eat itself. She said, can we please skip to the end? Well, we might get our wish this week with Janie and Kacer up on the block, assuming that's what Tyler does. And I do think he'll do that because it might cause some actual consternation between the house guests and this alliance, because some of them have good reason to want Janelle out of the house and other people have good reason to want Kacer out of the house. So I don't know what's going to happen this week.
Okay. Mary, is it possible that we could see Tyler after last week? He talked about he did not love this guy, Memphis. He wanted to get revenge on Memphis.
Memphis is lame, bro.
Memphis is lame, bro.
So, I have a little bit of a different perspective here. I'm not sure why Tyler went for the HOH, because I don't think that he would have been
Memphis out so bad.
Well, yeah, I think that's a little bit wishful thinking. I think that I don't think that Janelle and Kacer would have gone for Tyler first if either of them had won. I don't think Ian would have gone for Tyler first necessarily. I think Tyler, who I believe still has his safety suite pass, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he could have easily won safety. Yeah. I'm not really sure. I think Tyler would have, because he did initially want to work with Janelle and Kacer. I think that he was playing basically the middle and had alliances with almost everybody. And I feel like this would have been a good opportunity for him to let some people take some shots at each other and kind of hang back. I know that's not the fun, simple, easy thing of just rolling with the alliance, but I do think that that would have benefited him in other ways long term, because he's not going to be looked at as any kind of a bad guy in any position.
See, I disagree though. I do think there was a universe where Tyler goes home, and the universe is where Cody wins the safety suite and picks, you know, Memphis or Enzo or somebody, and Cody and Tyler end up on the block, maybe, or Franzel wins the veto. Like, there is a universe where Tyler could go home. Not a big universe.
I don't think it would have been the 1% most thing, but I think that it's it's just hard for me to picture wanting to play the game and take out anything that could be a potential option.
Consider this. If Janelle Kacer win, they're going to put two people up on the block from Tyler's alliance. That's going to break open Tyler's alliance and cause a lot of infighting, whereas he's currently very happy with the status quo of the house. By him taking HOH for himself, keeps everything the same. Janie and Kacer go up on the block, one of them goes home, and nobody's any the wiser, and there's less friction between.
Yeah, and he already said he's happy playing boring, so you're right.
I think that, like, Tyler also
it's
winning...
It's honestly the truth.
Yeah. I think that Tyler, like, winning this HOH, actually, I agree with you, Brent. I think it's a good thing just because, like, it's going to just completely unify the house. Everyone's going to agree with those noms. You know, everyone's going to see...
It's going to snuff out the light.
You can see where Tyler's head is at, like, kind of, even though not really, because it's pretty boring noms. It's going to be kind of like when Derek put up Devin, week three. You know what I mean? It was just like, everyone agrees with this. This is a great pick. Let's just do this. So I think it is, if there's any point to win it, you know, and Tyler, people were criticizing Tyler in the beginning because they said he was playing too slow. You know, Tyler might be able to form some, you know, new bonds with this HOH. I think this was the right, if there was an HOH to win it, it's just putting up Janelle and Kacer. I think it was the right one to win.
Mary, just to play amateur psychologist real quick here. So we know that Tyler does not relish being the villain, does not relish being the bad guy. Do you think that he will have any sort of consternation about putting up these fan favorites? And I'm not sure if in the house they are thought of as the fan favorites, Janelle and Kacer, if it's sort of like, hey, we're the good people. America must hate Janelle and Kacer. But do you think that he'll have any issue with being that person who's going to drop the hammer on them?
I think he has enough outs here. I think when you have such an obvious pair, it is easy for him to just say, you know, I'm a fan of you. I love you guys. You're awesome. I know that you have a lot of fans, but you came in as a pair. What else do you expect me to do at this point? So I think he has plenty of easy reasons to go about that. Now, I think that Tyler's also a really good social player and able to, if he wants, especially if he has a choice between which one of those two he really wants to target, to kind of speak to the other one in a way of like, but you know, once they're gone, you won't be a pair. And then you and me, mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking for a 10th ride or die. So there's a spot open.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, just to be totally clear, Cody did use his safety suite, obviously, this week. What I was trying to get at was there's a universe where Memphis picks Cody because Memphis has his safety suite still. Memphis can pick Cody as his plus one. There's a universe where Tyler could have gone home. That's why I was in favor of him going for the HOH. Also, be on the lookout for Janie. I think the chat's talking about the fact that Janie was already talking with Memphis earlier yesterday about using his plus one on her. I think that there's a good chance that Memphis might actually throw the safety suite because he knows he's not going to be put up with Tyler as HOH, and there's no reason for him to have to show his cards if he actually won.
Brent, could she be saved a second time? Is there any?
Yeah, I mean, no, like, I've heard no reason why she could not be. You only get one safety suite pass for yourself to swipe, but you can choose whoever you want for your plus one. Janie could just be a popular choice for people.
Yeah. Phil, do we have any idea what Ian would have done with his HOH?
I don't know. Like, usually, Brent, do you want to answer this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we were, because I was listening to Taryn on the updates, and I agreed with him that, because he talked to Kacer, and he was like, hey, I wouldn't put up you and Janie up on the block. I promise. Like, it wouldn't be that configuration. I think what he was getting at, like, I'd rather have Tyler as HOH rather than Ian, because I think Ian would have been just as bad, because I think Ian would have nominated Janelle and put up like Janelle and Memphis as the nominees and kept Kacer off the block. Of course, that presents a universe where Kacer could theoretically be pulled out of the veto bag and save Janelle. So maybe that would have been better. But still, I think this is a universe where Janie goes home. So I'm fine with it as it is.
Okay. Let's talk about one of the more fun moments of the night. This was a... You know, it was not only Danny Donato's daughter's birthday, Tennessee. I don't know if anybody knew that it was Tennessee's birthday tonight.
I thought they were shady Memphis when they said this. Like, I really did. Because, like, Twitter calls Memphis Tennessee. Like, they do. Like, you know how they call Christmas Halloween? They call Memphis Tennessee on Twitter. So when they're shouting out Tennessee, I'm like, what are they doing? What, does Memphis have a friend? What is this? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So everybody was giving shout outs to Danny's baby, but
yes,
that Danny herself got. What a birthday message. If you spent your life savings on cameo.com, you couldn't get a birthday message like this one.
Happy birthday, Danny. Yay! And my birthday present to you is to tell you how gorgeous you look. Last week, you looked like that very pretty actress, Busy Phillips.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my birthday present to you is to tell you that you looked so beautiful last week. This week, you look like shit. But last week, you looked really good, like that actress, Busy Phillips.
Remember when they used to give the house guests cake and presents on their birthday? Like, come on. And that was in Danny's time. Danny's like, this is the birthday present?
The way Julie said it, like, it was like, you look so beautiful last week. Like, I think to us, it sounded like the you look so beautiful went with last week, as in you look so beautiful last week. But I think the way Julie was saying it was, you look so beautiful, period, last week. You look like that actress, Busy Phillips.
But what, like, I don't remember what she was wearing last week. Show me a picture. I'm not
side by side. Nice. Like, Busy Phillips.
I need a side by side of Busy Phillips.
Somebody get
and what
that for
last
us
week
on Twitter, and then we'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah, like, I don't remember.
Happy,
like, okay,
birthday, Danny. Yay! And my birthday present for you is to tell you how gorgeous you look. Last week, you looked like that very pretty actress, Busy Phillips.
Thank you very much.
Who is Busy Phillips? I didn't even know who this person is.
All right, good. Let's play. All right, Phil, you are a filmmaker, Phil. Busy Phillips, according to IMDb, is known for four films, for four projects. Can you name any of them?
Films. I know she's a big TV star. I know she was on, like, Cougar Town. She was on a season of ER. Julie's a huge Cougar Town fan, as we all know. We also know that Julie, like, is a huge Freaks and Geeks fan. Julie, in 1999, that was, like, her favorite show, just so you guys know, Freaks and Geeks. So,
was Busy Phillips on that?
Yeah, she was on that. And she was also on Dawson's Creek, too, which, you know.
So, do you have the IMDb open? you're a young guy. How do you know all this?
I just, you know, Busy Phillips. I mean, we have to stand a legend. I mean, come on, man. She's the best.
All right.
She's great. I just, you know, Cougar Town. She's the best. And I don't know what film she's in, though. I have no idea.
Mary, do you think that Julie Chen is actually friends with Busy Phillips and is just, like, giving a shout out to her, like, her buddy to get in the show?
I mean, I guess, but if that was the case, can't we do, like, a shout out from Busy Phillips, maybe? I mean, this is so not the best birthday present. Like, my bar is pretty low for 2020 birthdays, but, like, come on.
Melissa Denny is saying in the chat that Busy Phillips just had her own TV show, that we are embarrassing her. I had no
idea. We're embarrassing Melissa because we don't know Busy Phillips? Hey, look, I'm busy, not Phillips, okay? I don't have time to watch every Busy Phillips show, okay? Call me Busy Phillip, all right? All right. Stupid. Okay. All right. Let's take some questions.
So sometime when we do the questions, the Sam Moore, our behind the scenes producer, put up that the official Busy Phillips response on Twitter. We'll take a look at that.
We'll get that as well.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes. All right. Let's bring in some questions as we talk about this episode tonight. I also thought it was a little extra that people had to vote for Nicole A in the diary room tonight. Like, you know, we know there's only one Nicole.
Okay, but look, I can accept this as long as we stop now, because a lot of times on these shows they will continue to refer to Nicole in the house as Nicole F, and I can't stop. Guys, no. We're done. Yeah. We're done with that. Throw it away.
Yeah. No more Nicole.
No more Franzel, Taryn. Just Nicole.
Okay. It was funny watching Franzel vote for Nicole. She's never been happy in her entire life. The fact that she's just getting rid of all the other Nicoles, there's just only one Nicole. She was having a ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's get some questions up from tonight's episode. Mancy says, Can Dani look beautiful next week, or has she reached the beautiful quota already? Only beautiful week one, and that's it. Do you think, or is that only a birthday wish that you get to say? Julie can comment on your appearance.
Well, this is a Haley Broucher thing, right? Next week she'll be fantastic.
No, it'll be
week
a different
after,
actress.
Be...
You look like a different beautiful actress next week.
Yes.
Next week she's going to look like Scarlett Johansson or something like that. Julie's going to just name actresses every single week.
Oh,
okay. All right. Let's go.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So here is Dani Donato and the beautiful actress, Busy Phillips, up. If you're watching the live YouTube version of this, you can see the side-by-side comparison.
Happy birthday, Dani. And my birthday present to you is to tell you how gorgeous you look. Last week, you looked like that very pretty actress, Busy Phillips.
Thank you very much.
Okay, there you go. All right.
That was her last week?
Yeah, I know, right?
Week. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, a little bit, I'm sure, but...
Yeah. Okay. And then let me give you a tweet as well of a reaction from Busy Phillips that a good friend of the show, Scott Yeager, quote tweeted, "You look like that very pretty actress. Busy Phillips is now the officially weirdest thing Julie Chen has ever said on BB22. And she said some weird ass stuff last week from Scott Yeager. Busy Phillips' tweet response was, "This is weird."
I read it as, "This is weird." Like,
yeah, maybe this is we weird. Can get Busy Phillips on the slop next week. Okay, all right. Let's go back to some more of your questions. Okay, all right. Be serious now. All right. This is from Yeg Wander Woman. Will another twist be revealed, a la the Ring of Replacement, to save JSAR? No, I don't believe so. But
no, this is why we're so pissed, Mary and Phil, because like we knew at the beginning of the season, they talked about the fact that more rooms are going to open up in the Big Brother house. All Janie and Kaser had to do was survive this week. If Janelle won HOH and Tyler didn't get 12, Janie and Kaser would have been safe. Another room would have opened up next week, and you know damn sure they'd have been safe again. So, God dang it. So annoying.
I think the thing is, though, is obviously, you know, we don't want production to just blatantly rig something. But I do maybe a little bit. But I do think that, you know, everyone's just been saying it in the chat and on Twitter. And I totally agree. I think there's a case to be made that Big Brother, the game, is broken. It's broken. Derek broke it. He figured out a perfect way to, you know, make the Onion Alliance, you know, like Taryn always talks about. And now, you know, there's no other way to play the game because it's that good. I think Big Brother might need to just do something. If not, you know, let's just do it this week. Why not? You know, what they need to do something to just shake up the game. Because
what could they do, Phil? Because
Final
I agree with you.
Making.
Huh?
Bring in the BB13 twist again that saved Rachel.
I mean, like,
just bring in Rachel. Just bring in Rachel. Put her. Get that Sam robot out. Get the Rachel Riley iPad. That'll spice up this season instantly.
It really would. Like, can we get the Sam robot out with Rachel Riley in the Sam robot and just follow Franzel around everywhere? Like, that would be awesome. I think it would be so cool. Like in my heart of hearts, here's the thing. I'm like, okay, like, I don't want them to rig anything. But the one time I feel like that it was definitely, like, rig-ish was BB13. And, like, bitch, I still love that season. So I got... I don't care. I'm tired
more
of
more rigging.
I don't care though. Like, I'm so frustrated with the way things are. And you're right, Phil. I do feel like the Derek, maybe not Derek himself, but like the game is broken because like it's the same thing every time where you get this big alliance of mostly of young white people. Like, are there any people of color? Like, did they choose Kaser, Bailey, Davon, David, Kevin? Are they in the alliance that Julie showed up on the board? Nope.
Okay.
Nope,
how's this?
Not there.
How's this? No fans. Don't show them Big Brother ever. Specifically find people who've never heard of the show, never played it. Show them nothing in Sequester. They can't recreate it, right?
I mean, that's what happened with Big Brother 19, though, when they didn't cast any fans. And
they put Paul in.
Yeah. Then they.
Well, right. Yeah.
That's true.
That was the problem, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were excited about that season until Paul came in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but what was the first thing that Cody tried to do? Make a big alliance of like eight
maybe
people.
Maybe they shouldn't, because I do know that, or at least I think maybe Andy always says, I don't know if this is true, but Andy says on Twitter that they always show people Big Brother 16. That's the season that they show people, like, before they enter the house. Maybe they should show them a better season with, like, better gameplay, like, you know, Big Brother 17 or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe something like with a split house, like Big Brother 20. I don't know. But they do need...
Show them Big Brother 6, and then they'll spend the whole season trying to figure out who the pairs are, but there's no pairs.
Yeah,
that'll mess
with
them.
And that's the twist.
Yeah.
They should have just showed them OG All-Stars, honestly.
Yeah,
just...
that was the thing, too. That was a recurring theme this week in the house, was that the Big Alliance kept saying that Janie and Case are... They're just trying to cause a split house. That's all they're trying to do. When in reality, like, that couldn't have been further from the truth. Janie and Case were just trying to actually save Nicole Anthony, number one, and number two, get a foothold in the game to deny the Big Alliance what they wanted. But there were so many scared people and a few wrong reads by including Christmas in. Ian wasn't, he was iffy. But Bay and Day, I feel like they're just happy, especially Dave on, honey. At this point, she's just happy to coast along. And honestly, if Janelle goes home this week, I think the Dave on could go home week four, which would absolutely
the
gut
Brent
me.
Prophecy.
But that is where things are headed right now. Seriously, the Big Alliance does not trust Avon. They really don't. And if Janelle goes home this week, like she's likely to do, I do think that Avon would go home in week four. And they're going to look back and say, why didn't we play harder? Because Avon, you're playing too scared. You're playing too scared not to rock the boat. You want to look at the fine print. You don't want to sign anything like that. Like, Kaser was trying to help you in that moment. And... You trusting all these other people over here, like Tyler and Cody. Like, do you think there's any universe where Tyler and Cody have your best interest at heart? No, they do not have your best interest at heart. Go with people like Kaser.
Okay. Frustrating. She can't hear the show. She doesn't.
I know.
I don't even know if she listens when she's not on Big Brother. But.
It's because we're rooting for the underdogs. Look, if you, instead you could look at this
I'd
and
always
say,
root for Dave
look at Tyler, look at Cody, look how good they are at snowing everyone else so that these people can't see that there's a big alliance and instead they think they're in it.
Hey, Big Brother has been hot with the twist this year. Everybody likes the twist that they've done. There's going to be another one coming next week after the first one is done. Maybe it's something, but maybe it's something that's not going to help the Big Alliance.
I've jumped fully aboard the Ian train, so I'm just going to stay there.
Yeah, hang in there. Okay, yes, Phil.
If I will say one more thing about Davon that I just saw in this episode, and I've just kind of noted, because I know she's been saying it before, about, you know, when Nicole was making her pitch, you know, Davon said that, you know, she would not, you know, she just would not evict Derek. I mean, not Derek, David, you know, David, just because, you know, he's an African-American man. And of course, you know, I 100%, you know, agree with her rationale, especially, you know, in these times that we're in, especially just what David went through last season. But I will say, you shouldn't say that. I definitely think that that's not the right thing to vocalize, at least to other house guests in the house, just because now everyone knows where Davon's cards are. Everyone knows that, you know, now Davon is going to put, she's going to put David and she's going to put Bailey before everyone else. You know what I mean? And I do think that, again, it's the type of thing where Davon is correctly right and I agree with her, but she shouldn't say it. She absolutely shouldn't say it. I just wanted to just vocalize that.
Yeah, that's the same thing like in earlier seasons when Natalie talked about, I don't want to vote out the women. I don't want to be a part of voting out women. I want a woman to win. Then that gets out into the ether. And then people start like putting that ahead of any possible relationship that you could build with them. And then that becomes your defining thing about you. That becomes the defining thing about Davon is there's a lot of things they're not sure about Davon. Maybe they trust her on some things, don't trust her on some other things. But the one thing they know is that she's not going to vote out David or Bailey before you. And that's what you need to worry about right now, at least from their point of view. And that's not going to help her. I agree that she should not have said that out loud.
Yeah, especially considering that she did seem very willing to vote out David then. Points this
right?
So,
exactly.
You know,
yeah. So really she's like, she's getting the worst of both worlds where she said that, but then like she's still
like, he can go.
Yeah, right? They don't even know that she was like, he can go. Yeah.
She did have a good line that Mary, I saw you tweet this one.
And he wants to just jump into this marriage. And I'm like, can you take me out to dinner first? Give me some crab legs, something.
Something.
to something. I don't know if crab legs would be my go-to. And
what would
it might
be,
have
Mary?
A hard time. I mean, like shepherd's pie,
shepherd's
pizza and beer.
Pie.
Come on, like,
that's what I want right now. I don't know how to make it. So,
what did Caleb eat?
Quarantine.
What did Caleb eat in big? Yeah, he should have eaten a pickle for her. Then she would have agreed.
I don't know,
yeah,
some pot roast. I just think like look,
shepherd's pie and a pot roast.
Like, flowers are overrated. Chocolate. What are you going to do in the Big Brother's house? Like, make me something nice, like a nice dinner. So I get where she's coming from with the crab legs. Like, I'm more on that train of thought.
Shepherd's pie and a pot roast sounds like when they used to make people vote for America's Choice. America, you have the power. What would you like to see the have-nots eat this week? Is it A, shepherd's pie and pot roast?
Yuck.
B, crab legs and chocolates. All right, let's take some more questions. All right, let's do Navara says, why doesn't Julie do a reopening? Yeah, this is a good question. Yeah, because they don't do the show live anymore. When Julie,
maybe they haven't told Julie that they don't do it live.
This is literally 3 seconds into the show.
Tears shed.
Like, why isn't Julie just, you know what? I'm going to start it. Let me take this again.
Let's call cut real quick.
Cut. Let me take it again. We're not live. Yeah. This was 1 second into the show.
Yeah, I don't think she knows it's not live.
That's definitely a possibility.
Okay. Tears shed.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Julie was having some trouble during the getting people pointed in the right direction during the HOH competition. This was Julie getting people set up.
Face the counters. Face the three counters.
That's confusing.
Face the counters. No, not those counters. The other counters.
Cody was just staring at the beer. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
No, I was thinking like the timer. Like I was thinking like who's counting? Like the people. I wasn't thinking like bars or I don't know. That's not the word I would have used. Mm-hmm. Counters.
He could have said anything else. Face the points. I don't know.
Lame.
But I definitely.
Yeah.
Everyone was just looking right at the beer. It was very.
I know that the house guests. Yes. When the house guests were practicing last night, they said that we have three shots, but I do. Like I am coming back to this, Rob, that like they had 30 seconds, they had a gazillion beers behind them. Couldn't they have just like thrown 5 or 6 beers down every table to get your highest score? And
I
then
don't know
on?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I mean, like you blew my mind with that. Like, where I didn't even consider that, and then once you said it, I'm like, oh yeah,
emergent
like,
gameplay. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Some people are like, no, you moron. That they definitely, if they could have done that, they would have. Like, I don't know. They didn't really explain it. Is it possible? If that's so,
definitely possible.
Like, why was the timer so important? Like, it feels like okay, well, I can go and throw more mugs, but it's going to take more time.
Right.
I'm surprised production didn't, as soon as Janelle didn't win, they should have just, again, call cut. All right, wait, no, that's not how the rules work. Let's just,
right.
Let me explain how to do this. Try it again.
Let me show you guys something else interesting going on from Twitter. The great Zaddy Taran shares this with us. This is Julie Chen Moonves has updated her Twitter bio, and I think that this is real. So Julie is now on Twitter. I don't know if she had changed this recently. She's now at
is her. Yeah, she changed it. Yeah.
She's at JC Moonves.
It is her. It's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So at JC Moonves. And then her Twitter is now give me some crab legs, comma something. Is that even the should we get the goal right?
And he wants to
because Davon said, give me some crab.
Can you take me out to dinner first? Give me some crab legs, something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a pause in there.
It's
yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna
I think it would
my...
be more of a dot 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 something.
Something. Yeah. give me some shepherd's pie, comma, pot roast.
You would think she'd go with one of her new sign-offs there.
No, she's having fun. Like this, I look, Rob, she had at Julie Chen verified for the longest time, and then she went to JC Moonves, and I remember the person who picked up Julie Chen Like, they were on it, man. Like, because the minute that 30-day window lapsed, they were on it and snapped up Julie Chen like that.
Okay, so now she's JC Moonves forever.
She's JC Moonves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, Krunk says, what are the chances that Tyler plays it safe this week and does not nominate the obvious targets? Well, how would that be playing it safe? Wouldn't that be playing it risky?
That would be playing it sneaky, which Tyler is sneaky, but he's also somebody who does something good for the Alliance. Like, he wants to make the Alliance happy. That's the way Tyler played BB20. That's the way he's going to play again. Again, I'm sorry. I know people are, you know, angsty over this. They don't want Janie and Kacer to see the block, but it's going to be Janelle and Kacer on the block.
Okay.
It really is.
All right. Let's take another question. The great Kelly Lynch says, what are the chances Tyler will put Memphis on the block? Phil, is there any chance that we could see this?
I mean, I know he vocalized that, you know, Tyler's 87 years old and, you know, Memphis is 87 years old and Memphis is old as hell and he's lame, but he doesn't trust him, but he's
Memphis still beat him in that veto competition. So no tea, but I think he's happy to have Memphis on his side right now. There's still way too many people in the house for him to put up Memphis. Also, Memphis could look like an enticing goat for Tyler. Like, for real, Memphis doesn't bond well with some of the people in his house. He's not nice to some of these people. There's a reason he lost 7-0 on his original season when he made it to the final two and arguably won more comps than anybody else in the house. It's because he didn't bond with the jury. So if Tyler's looking for somebody to go to the end with, I see a lot of other options that are worse than Memphis. And also the fact that Tyler was really upset with Memphis was the fact that David was nominated, but David survived. David's still in the house and Tyler's still got his man to work with. So I think there's no chance Memphis goes up on the block. If Janie or Kacer win the veto, I think it's probably Ian up on the block, maybe, or maybe Kevin.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. Bri Lynn says, what are the chances that the comp order was actually a random draw and Janelle and Kacer just happened to be the last two? Yeah, Mary, I guess the more we talk about this, this shepherd pie seems rotten.
Yeah, no, that 0.0% chance that this
happened.
Where's
Wardog to crunch the numbers on what is the possibility of this?
Yeah, I mean, the odds for that are insane. And those are wildly out of proportion.
Here, you want to see? I think this is a conspiracy theory going around tonight. And look, Big Brother conspiracy theories are the fun ones to talk about. All right. Brett Warden says, there's a claim that Tyler buzzed in before his mug landed on the floor, meaning that Janelle buzzed in before him. Get the change.org petition. Get the signatures going.
I mean,
that's
it
for me.
Yeah, right. That's all I got to see right there. So,
but I do think
that, yes.
Well, it doesn't matter, right? Because his score was higher than anyone else. So it doesn't matter how.
I think the point is
that his thing was still on a four when he buzzed in before it slid to the five, which would then Janelle. I believe her time was faster. So we'll see.
Let's change it up.
It's looking like about a 1 out of 156 chance that Janie and Kacer in some configuration would have been the people who were last and next to last in the pecking order. So if you believe that, I've also got a veto to sell you.
Yes. Okay. Mary, I also have a recipe for a shepherd's pie from one of the listeners.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. It's like a beef sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
that sounds terrible. So does the meal.
Okay. All right. Let's take from Patrick. Depending on how the safety suite goes, is it a possibility the mob will get tired of Memphis? No, probably not, right?
No, what do you guys? You're being ridiculous. Again, there were up to anywhere from 4 to 6 people that could play in the safety suite.
But Brent, did you see how many 1-star reviews his restaurant got?
Yeah, I know. But look, for real, there's only 4 people playing in the safety suite because Nicole A went home and Tyler went HOH. So there's only 4 people playing, and all of the people playing are working with Memphis. And like, there's no, and Tyler, there's no way that the safety tweet is not going to go to the people that they want it to go to. Like, you're saying on the person who's like trying to look at the best case scenario, but like, you guys, it's Janie and Kaser. By the way, I call her Janie because I always called her Janie back in the day. It's Janelle, but so like Howie always called her Janie, so I always called her Janie.
Is somebody
so,
telling you not to call her Janie?
There's some people in the chat are like, why does Brent call Janelle Janie? I'm like, because
Dave, just talk to us. Don't worry about that. Argue with the chat.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that it is just the perfect setup. I just don't, it wouldn't be illogical at this point to vote out Memphis just because if everybody hates one person, but that one person trusts you, that's the perfect setup, yo. Just keep them as long as you possibly can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just does not make sense to get them out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's take a couple more questions. Zaddy Taran, what are the chances of a coup d'etat? Mary, not likely.
Look,
because
stop. Yeah. Stop. We cannot just hate on these twists until our faves are in trouble.
Yes, take a side. Well, first off, that is exactly what Brent does, Mary. Taran will tell you, have no twists, it's not fair. Brent says, like, I don't care if they're fair or not as long as they help my favorites.
No, because that would be doing what's right, and we need to be doing what's kind.
Yeah, would you rather do what's kind or what's right?
I want to do what's right. We know what's right.
Yeah. So, no, I think if there was going to be a twist this week, Julie would advertise the twist. I mean, she always talks about it like a week in advance, and then like we'll have on Sunday night, and then on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday, we'll reveal a new thing that's coming up. So, whatever, this week, it's the safety suite. Next week, something new will come in.
I don't think they'd overlap twists like that.
You know what I was thinking about? Honestly, I was thinking about Big Brother Canada and how the fact that they rarely have problems like this where, like, you know, it's like one big glob of people and people just like they're unwilling to face the fact that they're outsiders. Usually people like they're either there's not a glob of people or people are willing to fight harder. And I feel like part of that is the reason that they keep them on their toes more. Mm-hmm. Like Big Brother Canada's willing to like dip their foot in the water of like, we're going to screw with you a little bit here. Like when they made the people do the have not cookies and put the have not cookies in and then they showed the people the tape, like something like that.
Yeah.
That
maybe,
would be very
maybe
welcome
it could be a
right
little
now.
Bit more like Big Brother 7, and then there wouldn't be like this brigade type alliance in the house with everybody having a parachute. That'd be much more ideal.
I also just think that like Big Brother Canada twists, they always do help the underdog. That's what they're made for, just because that's what, you know, Canada.
Can I have America's HOH, Phil. America's HOH.
Yeah, but. I don't know, like Battle of the Block. I do think that a lot of the twists do end up, even like the hacker twist, a lot of them do end up helping, you know, the majority, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
What
maybe
would be a
maybe
twist
you
that would help the underdogs, Mary.
America's HOH. I'm like, guys.
Yeah, that could. I mean, we saw that in last season when they basically did the America punishing people throughout the season.
Yes, and it was fabulous.
Right, that was good. I do like that, but the thing is, I feel like a lot of these all-stars are here to play to win, and I don't know if they care too much. I have not been hearing a lot of people saying, oh, I hope America's liking me and knowing what I want to do. I think if they came down to it, I don't think they're going to be that mad. I don't think you have a big group, and it's like, oh, America doesn't like us. We should probably sabotage our own games then?
No,
like,
I don't think so. But look, no one likes to hear that they're hated. Franzel was talking about the fact that she hopes that Janie's not getting a good edit this year. If she does, she's going to be really mad about it. Like, they care. These are all narcissistic, you know what, and they care how they're viewed outside the Big Brother house because they depend on being like influencers and selling their merch and getting people to buy their crazy stuff. So they care about being liked. And if we saw some America's vote thing, I think that they would not like the results of that. That'd be very fun.
Yeah. We'll see.
I got a lot of kick. When Christy was nominated last year, I was thrilled. Like, it was fun to see. So show me something like that.
Yeah.
Remember how fun it was in Big Brother 6 when Janelle won that America's Power? I mean, and
it really was.
We saw like the look on everyone else's face, Maggie's face, Rachel, all their face. I mean, it was
the
best.
Phil.
Like, come on, we gotta
do that.
So bring back the luxury prizes.
Yeah. All right. So you want to take a look at what's going on with the alleged controversy over Tyler's win? Okay.
Sure.
Here's a screenshot that we can look at. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So this is from one of our listeners, Bradley Michael, sends this in. And I cannot verify that this image has not been altered. Okay. So here is what Bradley says, that Tyler's mug was fully on the three. So we see Tyler buzzing in while his mug is on the three. It continues to slide. I'm not watching. This is just a still shot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mary, does this do anything for you? Okay.
Yeah, I definitely thought that was paused and I was waiting for it to go.
No, it's not video. It's not video.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think we need to listen to those rules again. Does Julie say if and when only when the mugs have stopped sliding, then lock in
she
your time?
Or is it say just that. A, she definitely does
a
not
push
say
and
that.
Release?
Okay. Okay. Here's Julie's reading of the rules.
You will play this competition one at a time. On the horn, you must race to slide one mug down each of the three counters you see
one
before
mug.
You.
Okay.
Hit your button and lock in your time. The goal is to land each mug on the highest scoring zone. If your mug touches the line between two zones, you will receive the higher score. Your final score will be the cumulative points for all three mugs, but be warned, you only have 30 seconds to lock in your score. The All-Star with the highest cumulative score will be the new head of household for the week. If we have a tie, then the winner will be the All-Star that did this in the least amount of time.
Okay, I don't know. People are saying that he had a three on the last one.
Yeah, he had a three on the last one. It went 5-4-3. Yeah.
So what's the one that people are complaining about?
I don't know.
People just want to see Janelle win. That's
I think people are just trying to come up with a way for Janelle to win.
Either way, he has plausible deniability. Yeah. Look, I know enough about Big Brother to know that even if this was somehow the case and this was part of the rules or whatever, I don't think they're getting into it. Yeah. You know, they didn't. A light breeze knocked over somebody's stack and Enzo wins. No, mm-hmm. No. It's not happening. Okay. They're not going back. All right. Not for
I bet
this.
They're not even playing the tapes back, probably. They're probably striking the competition right now as we speak. So I don't see anything changing from this.
Okay. All right. A couple more questions here. Faison says, how can Tyler use his HOH to weaken Cody's sphere of influence in their shared alliances in the game? Or is it too early for that? I think it's too early for that.
I think it's too early for that as well. Like the only real push is going to be whether or not Janelle or Kacer goes home this week, unless one of them wins the veto, obviously. But Cody's obviously wanting Kacer to go home, and Nicole Franzel and Danny want Janelle to go home. Although I don't know why Danny should want Janelle to go home, because Danny would not be put up on the block by Janelle. Like, I don't even know if Danny realizes that or not. So if she finds out that info, that might change her mind.
Okay. Yeah, I think if anything benefits Tyler in this direction, it's going to be other people playing messy and blowing up this week and just conversations they're having. I mean, Memphis sat in his room all week and there was still so much turmoil happening with him doing nothing. So Tyler can just use the HOH to sit back while everyone else runs around.
He'll be sitting in the cloud.
I just think the only way he would be able to, like, you know, beat out Cody or whatever is just using the HOH to pull in more allies. You know, that's what it's made for. And I think that's what he could be able to do. But, you know, that's it, I think.
Okay. All right. Let's do one or two more questions. Ryan says, is anybody going to play in the safety suite? Seems like everyone left doesn't need to play. They'll go in there.
Yeah, they'll go in there. I don't know who's going to try to win it. I guess they're going to have to pick somebody. They'll pick somebody safe as their plus one who they would never use as a pawn or something. By the way, the one thing to look for this week is the fact that obviously Julie showed the alliance on the board, the committee, as it's called in the house. Not in the house, but as is called with us. And Tyler is amongst those six people. So subtract Tyler from that. That's five. They need six to send somebody out of the door this week. If Kacer or Janelle do win the veto and they have to put up a pawn, there is a scenario where, you know, the six people who are not in that alliance could come together and vote out the person who is not Janelle or Kacer in order to keep
like
a target
Enzo
in the house.
Basically part of that? Like,
Enzo's on the board. Enzo was on the board. Yeah.
You got Enzo. That Tyler doesn't.
Enzo, Cody.
Vote.
Yeah. Enzo, Cody, Danny, Franzel, Christmas. Those are the five people that they're counting on.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the likely is if Janelle or Kacer wins the veto, then it's just going to be one of those other people who would be one of those six votes who'd get put up. So, I don't know.
Did she put up Memphis or did she put up Enzo on the board? I forget. And Memphis was definitely there.
I think Memphis was there. I don't think Enzo was.
Maybe Enzo wasn't there. Okay.
Okay.
So unless Enzo gets put up, I don't know. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would be.
All right.
No. He's too cool.
Okay. Let's see. And then now
Scott this
has,
is a,
yes, Scott this has is pulled a fun, this. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's definitely some Photoshop, but I appreciate it.
Oh, this is not real. This
no.
is not real.
I love it, though.
Scott has been photoshopping your Twitter header.
Great. Send that to me. I'm going to use that for something without actually changing
shepherd's
it.
Shepherd's pie, comma, pot roast, something. Okay. All right. All right. We'll get to what else is coming up. All right. Phil, anything else from this hour of Big Brother tonight that we should hit?
I think I mostly hit everything, or we mostly just kind of talked about everything that, you know, I was thinking about. So yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay.
You guys?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we kind of like had like a down note tonight of like, oh, well, Janelle and Kacer are going up and this week is going to stink, but.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I don't mean to be on a down note. I mean, I'm happy that Big Brother's back in my life. I'm happy that we've got an amazing show. And like I said, I would rather it have been Tyler rather than Ian as the person who's HOH, because I really felt like Ian would have just targeted Janelle, which would honestly have hurt my heart a little bit considering that they share a little history from Big Brother 14. So I know that Ian's going to want to keep Kacer in the house and get rid of Janelle if he has his druthers. Same with Cody. Franzl obviously wants Janelle out. So if the veto doesn't save them from themselves, there's going to be a lot of disagreement over who should leave the house this mm-hmm. week. And I anticipate that some people will come away with their feelings hurt.
Yeah. Look, if this last week showed us anything, that this house is messy. Things could happen. It's possible, right? Mary, tell me it's possible.
Tyler's really good. Tyler's really good. That's the issue.
Yeah, mm. I think he's smooth. I think this is a real, real long shot. What you would have to hope is that just everyone else somehow, there's some misunderstanding, there's some giant fight, there's people trying to get already sabotage the alliance in week three, and somehow Tyler goes along with that and throws up Memphis if everyone hates him or something like that. But Tyler's only going to change the plan if like everybody's on board. So unless everybody else changes the plan for him, it's not happening.
Yeah. Also, so one other thing to look for this week is notice the fact that two women have left the Big Brother house the first 2 weeks. If there is a big push to get rid of Janelle this week, I anticipate that that will be met with some pushbacks by some people in the house who do not want to see a third woman leave the house this year. And they would be right to be worried about that.
Yeah. Phil, hear me out. If there's any hope for some sort of strife in the house with this big alliance, is this potentially a problem, and I don't know if Memphis has ever had this in any of his restaurants, and I'm imagining he has because I've read that he had some bad reviews. Could there be too many cooks in the kitchen in this alliance, that you've got big personalities, people that are used to getting their way? Danny, Nicole Franzl, Memphis, Tyler.
It's
Enzo.
The savage crew of Big Brother.
Yes.
The thing is, Tyler is just so good at stroking egos. So he's going to just make everybody, you know, now that Tyler's HOH, he's going to just be like, oh, yeah, let's just go.
There's too many bosses, though.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that eventually, you know, the bosses will begin to implode. But I think we're going to start to see rumblings of that this week for sure. Just looking forward. I don't know. I'm not as down on this upcoming week as I guess some people are, because I just think that we're going to be able to see this alliance slowly begin to crumble, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So I don't know. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun to see, you know, what Janelle and also it'll be fun to see what Janelle and Kacer end up doing too.
So you're saying that Big Brother 22 is a slow cooker. So get Mary's pot roast ready.
Yeah.
It'll take a few weeks, Mary, but we're cooking up something good for you.
Great. Devon would be so pleased.
Remember,
she needs to be wined and dined.
Remember when we all thought in the beginning of Big Brother 18 for the first like 5-6 weeks that Pauly had it on lock, and we thought Pauly, you know, it signed the check, it's done, you know, Pauly has it. And remember how glorious that Pauly like implosion was?
I remember when Franzl won that season, we were so happy. Oh,
sorry. Yeah. And Franzl's going to win this again. Oops, sorry. But you know,
I already have her in my final two.
Yeah. I have her in the draft. All right. Okay.
It'll be fun. It just slow cooking right now, but you know, I'm excited looking forward in the game. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on. Hey, Tough as Nails. Mary, are you watching Tough as Nails? I noticed your Savage Crew reference.
Yes, I marathoned the whole thing this week and caught up on all the podcasts. I really like it. I think it's some good, like, wholesome content.
Shepherd's pie for the soul.
Exactly. Phil on the podcast cracks me up so much with how into it he is. And how much he's clearly listening to you guys so he can come back and rib you on the next one. It's my favorite. If you're not watching it, at least listen to the podcast because it's great just hearing
it's
from Phil.
It's fun to hear Phil talk about the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm picking up some Kiwi phrases and everything.
Yes.
It's great.
And by the way, for those of you who watched our Big Brother recap last night, I made a vow to Chappelle that I was going to do something. And I'm a man of my word. So I did ask a Big Brother 22 question to Phil on today's Tough as Nails recap with Mike Bloom and Jessica Lee. So be on the lookout for that. Okay. All right. What else is coming up? Oh, okay. Wiggle Room Through Time has been going on all summer long. And so we have the latest episode of Why Coach Lost. Spoiler alert. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis tell you all about that on their look back. And then David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are also doing the Why Blank Lost for Big Brother. That's right. David Bloomberg has adapted his signature rules of how to play Survivor for how to play Big Brother. And then he and Jessica Lewis will be talking about why did Nicole Anthony lose? Brent, how long do you think the show will be this week talking about why Nicole Anthony lost?
not too long. I really don't feel like it's that deep why she lost. She lost why many other people lose Modern Big Brother because there's a big alliance in the house. You don't get a foothold. She didn't play hard enough. She didn't play fast enough. There were people, again, Mary brings up the fact that Tyler was there and ready and willing
well,
to work with Nicole Anthony.
We're going to listen to their podcast. So you don't have to just do it right now. Yeah.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Here's what else is coming up. Oh, it's going to be the B&B for week two. I believe Haley Strong will be with Mike Bloom and Liana to talk about everything going on in week two of Big Brother. And then we will have our exit interview with Nicole. And we can go ahead and ask Nicole all of our questions.
I'm a little bit confused by your gameplay.
Okay. All right. Taryn will join me for the Nicole Anthony exit interview. And then right after that, Taryn will jump in to the Friday morning live feed update with Pooja Zambakili. That will be a little bit late. You know, give Taryn a couple extra minutes there as we finish up our exit interview right before then. And then, oh, this is going to be a very exciting show. On Friday, look at this. Erica Landon from the original Big Brother All-Stars in Big Brother 4, as chronicled by Mary and Taryn in the Big Brother 4 blockumentary. She will be with us live on Friday afternoon for some special coverage. Mary and Taryn will be joining me for that one. Mary, are you excited after you watched all of Big Brother 4 to talk to Erica?
I'm so excited. It was great talking with June, and now we get to hear from the flip side of things with Erica. Oh, this is such a treat.
Not to mention, Erica also played in the original Big Brother All-Stars with Janelle and Kacer. So she will have some insight into their games and the precarious situation that they might be in come this time tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. That will be live around 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll have that in the podcast feed as well. Also, the Big Brother Saturday Roundtable is coming. I think that there should be some fun people there. I think I heard some whispers Mike Bloom maybe there this Saturday. So be on the lookout there with Taryn on a Saturday night. I think that's at 9 p.m. Eastern for the Saturday roundtable. Not to be confused with the Tuesday Stockwatch, different show. Okay. Of course, we'll be back on Sunday night for our Sunday night recap. That'll be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern on Sunday to recap that episode and talk about the nominations. And of course, all of this podcasting is made possible by the support of our patrons. Head on over to robswebsite.com/patron to get more information about everything we have going on in our patron only podcast feed, our patron Facebook group, Discord community, and more. robswebsite.com/patron patron. Just one other note. I know a lot of people have said that they were missing some podcast recaps. We had an issue going on where not every one of our Big Brother recaps from the last couple episodes had been going out. I believe that issue is resolved. You can go ahead and either refresh your feed or, worst case scenario, you could resubscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to make sure you did not miss anything here in our Big Brother coverage. Okay. All right. Phil, this was so nice to get the podcast with you. I know you had actually podcast about the background on Keisha coming into the season. Some people blame you for her being the first one out.
Yeah, it was my fault. I'm sorry, guys. I know everyone listened to my podcast before they went into the house, and so they heard, oh my God.
Well, they had their phones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Obviously. So, I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do that.
Yes. Is that possible that going back to people like having their phones, could they have listened to podcasts? Because I believe that Janelle, we did drop the Janelle podcast first on the Hypothetically Speaking
we
series.
We did. I was part of that. Yes.
Is it possible could they have listened to a podcast?
I know they had their phones for a couple days.
They were like, oh, Janelle is back, everybody.
Yeah. Though it was Hypothetically Speaking, everybody and their mother knew that Janelle was going to be on this season of Big Brother. So I don't know. They might have listened to it. You never know. Mm-hmm. House guests do not underestimate the narcissism of the house guests in the Big Brother house.
Okay. Now, some people might have been, but Bailey was too busy watching The Umbrella Academy. So
yes, spoil
me on season two.
Yes. All right. Phil, so where can people find out more about what you're doing?
You can just follow me on Twitter on PNTJRX, and you can follow me.
Say those letters again, because that was
sorry. Yeah,
that was really fast.
Sorry, I should probably change my handle just because I never used.
Yeah, I should probably. Is it a word scramble, Phil?
So it's my.
It's your license plate.
No, so my name is Philip Nathan Thompson Jr., and so it's Philip Nathan Thompson PNTJR, and then I just put an X. I don't know, I made it like 10 years ago or whatever. I should probably change it. But yeah, just follow me on Twitter, and and also you can follow me on Instagram at PNTJR, same thing.
No X
for that one. Yes. But yeah, that's what I'm up to.
All the Phil stands should get that vanity license plate, PNTJRX, to support. Phil.
One more thing. Wait, sorry. Did you guys see the change.org petition for the change the HOH from Tyler to Janelle? Did you guys see that?
I did. Yes. Sam Moore talked about that in the chat, and I also saw that the feeds are down right now. So you never know.
Oh boy. Yeah. Just to go back to that tweet that I put up earlier. Here, let me give you the change.org petition. I love this. The last time that we did it, I said that it read like the opening scroll to Star Wars, and then somebody actually went and turned it into the Star Wars scroll. That my dream is to have that Star Wars scroll, but with my narration of it. But okay, here is I'll give you the change.org petition because the feeds are down. Yeah, people have nothing else to do tonight. Okay, all right. Here is the change.org petition. Okay. Let's go to that and switch to I gotta maybe I'll just copy and paste this. Sorry, this is not professional podcasting, right? So I have this tab shared.
Yes.
The wrong tab. Okay, here we go. All right. Change the HOH from Tyler to Janelle on Big Brother this week, as it was clearly rigged, period, as we speak. 172, 4, 5. The numbers are going up as the second. That this is started by a person named Edna, who's trying to petition CBS. And
bless you, Edna.
Bless you, Edna. This petition says, on season 22 of Big Brother, for the third HOH competition, Julie Chen announced that Tyler Crispin won with a score of 12 points and had a time of 14.07 seconds. In second place, Janelle scores 11 points with a time of 12.85 seconds. Julie said the house guests had to lock in their score and time by pushing a buzzer, but with closet inspection. I think, Mary, did they do a closet inspection?
Yeah, that's what they were inspecting.
Tyler pushed his buzzer before his last mug of beer went from 3 to 4, which should mean that Tyler should have 11 points with a time of 14.07 seconds, which would effectively make him second place, and Janelle would be the HOH. Big Brother is a game of lies, backstabbing, and manipulation. Why does production feel as though this applies to them?
So can we confirm, because I thought that the last beer was like, I thought it showed 3 and then it landed on 3. Like did the last mug,
because
I know his
what
first...
they want you to think, Brent.
Look, you have not been inspecting the closet enough. Go in there and we'll find the truth.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And look, I thought it was 5-4-3, right? That's what happened.
And look, let me give a message to Tangela Nation, if I may be so bold. I know that we have had a rocky history, but let me give some friendly advice out there to Tangela Nation. And let me say, Tangela Nation, get your change.org petition ready to say Tyler actually won this HOH, and there should not be any do-over, because that would not be fair. Big Brother is a game of lies, backstabbing, and manipulation. Why would production participate in that game?
It's a spool of lies, I tell you.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Phil, what else did you want to add?
No, I think that is mostly everything. I have one more thing to plug if anyone is like a movie or a TV show, not reality TV, but other just TV show enthusiast. I write reviews for, you know, movies and TV shows on a site called Letterboxd, which I do that basically when I'm not watching feeds or watching Big Brother stuff. So you can follow me on that at PNTJR. Again, that same thing.
No X,
yo.
All right.
But yeah, so that's basically everything.
Okay. Phil, have you reviewed any Busy Phillips movies?
You know what? I might actually do a Busy Phillips watch. Like, basically, as soon as Big Brother All Stars is over, I'm going to just go through the entire filmography, and I'll let you guys know how all of her movies are, and I'll compare it to a week in Danielle Donato's gameplay. I'll just say, this movie is just like week 6 in Big Brother 13. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do stuff like that.
I love it. All right, Phil, you did a great job here tonight. Looking forward to podcasting more with you in the future. Okay. Mary, we'll be talking again in like 14 hours.
Woo! Getting ready. Gotta adjust my brain. We'll ask Erica about Busy Phillips and
Shepherd's Pie recipes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
all right.
Everything.
Frail Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary. No X. Just Frail Mary, every platform. And look, it's the summer of 2020. Anything goes. I think it's time to stop feeling guilty about our guilty pleasures. And on that note, Kowski Cast has launched a Twilight podcast. So
a Twilight podcast?
Yes. Yes. So for all
the
of you...
The books or the movie?
The books. Well, the movies also, but starting with the books. So if you are a Twihard or fellow hater, check it out. It's called Twifight. We cover both the pros and cons. So
it's a debate.
Look for that on Kowski Cast.
Are you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
I'm Team Edward.
You're Team
Feel
Edward.
Free to come for me. It's fine.
Why would I? Yeah.
Maybe you're a you know, closet Jacob stan. I don't know.
Like a werewolf guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I do.
No, I thought you were asking is he the werewolf guy? I said yes.
Yes, he is. Yes. I think that's where I'd put you. I don't know. Ask Nicole.
Okay. She doesn't care. All right. Brent, tell me, you'll be rage tweeting at the live feeds this week, right?
I mean, it's going to be hard to be, because I feel like I know it's going to happen. So, like, you know, like, and it's not even a, like,
so
the thing is, it's not even a bad.
Anything could impress
you. Yeah, I have low expectations. And the thing that, like, again, the thing is that it's not a bad move for Tyler to put up Janelle and Kacer. So I can't even come for it on a game level, you know, like I had more fun rage tweeting this week when Nicole was doing, you know, bad things and saying bad things about Janelle and Kacer. And didn't realize who her own allies were, and was including Christmas in conversations. And Janelle is not trusting Ian, but is trusting Christmas. Like, that was a lot more rage filling than anything that's probably going to happen this week. But you can find me at One Lucky Yay. That's one spelled out O-N-E across all platforms. And follow me if you want to hear me rage tweet.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. I had a lot of fun talking about this tonight. I feel like that we came to an okay conclusion here. Expect the worst.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Listen, it's only up from here. It's only up from here. We're going to watch some good gameplay this season. I mean, we're watching people who have played before, good caliber players. It's going to be good, y'all. So keep watching.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with So Much Big Brother, Nicole Anthony exit interview, Taryn's live feed update with Puya. We'll be talking live with Erica Landon. That's all before we're even going to get nominations. It's going to be a wild day tomorrow on Friday. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. And so from the RHAP studios, I just want to say to everyone, when it comes down to it, just remember to be kind. Rewind the podcast to the start for the next person. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.